Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. When I booked our next guest, I did not know that news would be breaking about the club just moments before he was scheduled to come on. So sometimes it works out like that. But as we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Jason Longshore, United analyst for us right here on 92.9 The Game. Unfortunately, Jason, this is not the best news to report, as it just came down from Atlanta United Communications. The following, Atlanta United today announced that president and CEO Garth Lagerwey will be taking an immediate and indefinite leave of absence from the club to fully focus on medical treatment and recovery with full support of the club and AMB Sports and Entertainment. The day-to-day operations of the club moving forward will continue under Chief Soccer Officer Chris Henderson and his staff. So, Jason, your immediate reaction there. Obviously, we want nothing but the best and well wishes to Garth and his family during these trying times. But your reaction to the news and then what it means for the club?
Yeah, I don't know what it means just yet. This literally just came out. I don't know if you were psychic or what when you booked me on Sunday after the other news that we have to talk about that we'll get into as well. And you know, look, there, it's all related with the club in the midst of or about to start. I'm not sure where it stands in the process of a coaching search. This is not the news that you were hoping for. I've had the chance to see Garth here a few times lately as he's been around the building and, you know, trying to kind of ease into things a little bit. I hate that he has to take another indefinite leave of absence now to focus on treatment and recovery. You know, we've had the benefit of having Garth on with us all of last year and for the first portion of this season, home and away. Talked to Garth all the time on trips, just about soccer, about, you know, World Cup, about everything, life, you know, whatever. So I hate that this is what he's dealing with, him and his family, and, you know, all of us who get a chance to work with him and interact with him are just hoping, you know, for all the best for him and his family as he's able to focus on this. And for the club, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly now what, I mean, it's the same group that when Garth stepped away back in July, that took over the aspects of what he does as president and CEO. So Chief Soccer Officer Chris Henderson, the Senior VP of Strategy, Dimitrios Efstathiou, and the Chief Business Officer, Skate Nofsinger. So they're all taking on the aspects of what the president and CEO take on. They're all going to report to AMBSE CEO Rich McKay. But now you have a coaching search to go alongside that. And that's going to be interesting to see how those three, along with Rich McKay, kind of manage that process now trying to find the next coach for Atlanta United.
Yeah, obviously the other news is that Atlanta United parted ways with the manager, Ronnie Dyla. And how much do you think, obviously you don't make that decision in a vacuum or with a snap decision. So right. How much do you think the process of who they would want to at least bring in for interviews of the next manager of the club, do you think that process is down the road? And do you think while he was here, do you think Garth was able to put any of his fingerprints on it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's kind of hard to know how involved he was when he was around. You know, I had a chance to talk to him one time during training when we were away, the team was working on tactics and, you know, some portions of the training session aren't open to the media, some are. So we were on the other side of the building and Garth was coming in. So I'm not sure how around he's been. But in the past, over the summer and from talking to folks, you know, I know he was engaged in what was going on and he was keeping up and he was watching all the games and involved in discussions about what steps to take to try to make the team better. So my guess is that would be continuing, you know, while he's been around as well. So to what extent, what the timing has looked like, I don't know. And I'm with you. I don't think this decision was made immediately after the game on Saturday. That wouldn't really makes sense, because I don't think if the result was different that the decision would have been different. It shouldn't be. It's you're making a decision over an entire season, not over one game against a team that's also eliminated from the postseason. I don't think a win there would have necessarily kept Ronnie Dyla in place. I don't think a different loss would have changed it either. I think it was what it was. So my guess is there's been conversations. There would have to be. I don't know how far they are in the process. I don't know when they made the final decision to do this and move on from Dyla, as was announced on Sunday morning. And I don't know what that time span would have been, because I doubt they were very far in talking to anybody while he was still employed. But you do have ways to, you know, feel people out, get an idea of what kind of interest could be there if that job was open. We know how this stuff goes. I don't know where that stands. You have a really interesting situation right now in terms of four or five other teams in MLS that are going to be looking for a head coach. You have some coaches available in the United States who've had success in the league. You have some coaches internationally that are available as well. So what is the route going to be here in this hire? Are you going domestic? Are you going a U.S.-based coach? Are you going international that has experience with Major League Soccer? Or are you going with somebody completely brand new who doesn't have that experience with Major League Soccer but has a resume that is very strong? My guess is Garth would have at least been involved in kind of that vision of what's next. I don't know how involved he has been in terms of actionable items in that.
We're talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst here. Again, the breaking news for the Five Stripes is, unfortunately, it was announced today that President and CEO Garth Lagerwey will be taking an immediate and indefinite absence from the club to focus on his health, with Chief Soccer Officer Chris Henderson and his staff once again leading the charge while Garth is away. We wish him nothing but a healthy and speedy recovery. Okay, so we've seen, Jason, what hasn't worked with the last couple of managers in Gonzalo Pineda and now with Ronnie Dyla. So what – I'm not talking about type of manager like you were just discussing in terms of international, you know, national experience, inexperience. What type of manager does this team need, in your opinion, based off of what you've seen, to get back on track?
I think the type of manager that you're looking for is one aspect of it, but – I think the more important aspect of it is upgrading the roster. I really do. I look at going into 2024 with Pineda in charge. Atlanta United was looked at by pundits and experts around the country as a team that could contend after a very good 2023, and then players being brought in ahead of last season, which feels like forever ago at this point. And they didn't. And Pineda was relieved of his duties in midseason. Rob Valentino had the great playoff run, but you have to remember the team barely got into the playoffs. They got in on decision day and they got some help to do that after a couple of bad home losses made that almost not happen. Going into this season, though, with Ronnie Dyla coming in, with Latte Lott being signed to a record at the time transfer, to Miguel Almiron coming back to the club, the expectations were that Atlanta United would be a trophy contender, and they weren't. And I think when you look at how this team played, and I know one of the prevailing sentiments has been right now about Ronnie Dyla's tactics. I watched this team train during the season as much as anybody else had the ability to. I watched every game. I watched how they handled things. I don't think it was about his tactics. He wasn't asking them to do anything that was complicated. He wasn't asking them to do anything that wasn't, you know, within their means. I think when you look at expected goals and expected assists, which would be a product of how the team played tactically, strategically to create things, they produced more opportunities to score goals than they scored goals. They gave up fewer opportunities for the other team to score goals than the other team scored goals, which makes you feel like it's more of a performance issue than a tactics issue. I do think in Major League Soccer, you do need either the manager or someone on his staff, probably a lead assistant, to understand the challenges that you have in Major League Soccer. Now, Pineda, Valentino, Dyla all understood that. So that's not something new. But if you do decide to go with a new person to the league, he's going to need somebody with him who understands this league, because you have more travel in Major League Soccer than most leagues in the world. You have more climate changes to deal with in the league that will affect recovery, that will affect how you handle matches. You have altitude in some cases you have to deal with. You have challenges here that you would not have in England, in France, in Italy, in Spain, in other countries. So I think if you do go in a different direction, which, look, that's typically what we see, right? When you've gone a direction with guys who have had experience in the league and it hasn't worked in results, you normally try something different. So if you do, I do think there is a understanding of Major League Soccer needed for that person to potentially be successful.
The other piece of news, as you know, it's been a busy few days here for our Five Stripes, is that Brad Guzan is stepping away. Obviously a great career, it speaks for itself, but the portion that I want to focus on, Jason, is there anyone you could identify right now on the club that could, I'm not saying replace his leadership, because I don't think that's possible, but is ready and primed to step up to be a leader?
Yeah, I think Bartosz Szlich is that guy for me. I look at him as one of the real bright spots of this season, and there weren't a whole lot. He's the one, I think. I think he had a career year. He has grown up a little bit. I think the move from Poland to Atlanta was a little difficult for him last season at times. You know, he's a pretty young guy with a family, had a child. That's a lot to process. And I feel like it's all come to the good for him. And I noticed just things in Saturday's match, of a game that isn't going to mean anything in the table. And he's running things down and getting physical, defending and sacrificing his body. He's a demonstrative player. And that's the thing that you lose with Brad Guzan. Different when you're on the field versus being in goal, but Brad made his presence felt. And you don't have that anymore. And that's going to be different. That's going to be weird. This is just on the field. I'm not even getting into all the stuff in the locker room and managing that aspect of it. But on the field, Miguel Almiron has been the captain, and he is a leader in his way, but he's not a demonstrative guy. And I do think you need that. And I think Bartosz Szlich is one who can be that. I think Enea Mihai, who came in midseason, I think he immediately kind of assumed some of that presence aspect, immediately kind of organizing things in the back. There is going to be a leadership vacuum with Brad not there. That can be a good thing and bring out leadership skills in other people, but they have to take that responsibility on. And if you go back and you listen to things that Ronnie Dyla talked about, that Rob Valentino talked about, that Gonzalo Pineda talked about over these past two seasons, the idea of the team being too soft or too nice is a common thread. You need a leader, I think, on the field within the 10 field players who's not going to stand for that. And you probably need a couple. And that, to me, when you start to look at how to upgrade this roster, taking into account you're going to need some leaders in whoever you bring in, or you're going to need Szlich, Mihai, maybe better call others to take on some of that leadership, you've got to be tougher. You've got to be more resilient. I think you've got to be more demonstrably those things, to where you see it, I see it, people in the top row in the stadium see it. That's one of the things that has to change for this group going forward.
Before I let you go, I did want to check in. What is the latest with the national squad and the World Cup developments as we get ready for next summer?
Yeah, pretty good window in October. Two more games in November. I think all the panicking over results with Mauricio Pochettino is starting to fade a little bit. There was a narrative that he had to know his starting 11 for the World Cup in September, and tournament was 9 months away. Things are going to come and go. Like, I don't know if any team in the world knows their starting lineup right now for the World Cup. I think he has hit on some things that are going to work for the group of players that he has and the overall talent pool, playing three defenders, being a little more in control of games in that way. I thought they played well against Ecuador, who finished second in South American World Cup qualifying, beat Argentina in the final qualifier. They played well against Australia, who qualified out of Asia. They beat Japan at the end of the September window, another team that qualified out of the Asian Confederation. I like where it's going. I do think, as we've talked about many times, the talent pool is what it is. It's a top 20 talent pool when you talk about teams around the world, not a top 10. So you're going to have to find some ways to be a top 20 team and beat somebody who's better than you. I think playing three center backs and being able to defend deeper with numbers at times and hold on at times and hit teams on the counter with a guy like Christian Pulisic, who is a world-class attacker, I think that can work when you're trying to beat teams who have more talent than you. And I think Mauricio Pochettino is starting to get the structure of how he wants this team to play in place for next summer while he's deciding which players he can count on to execute it.
All right, Jason, a perfect night for Atlanta Soccer tonight. We'll have more coverage of Garth Lagerwey. Again, his situation, stepping away to focus on his health for an indefinite amount of time. And Chris Henderson and his crew will once again be leading the charge and now leading the search for the newest manager. Again, Jason, you're on right after me tonight, correct?
Yeah, on at 10 o'clock. I'm going to have Madison Cruz join during the show as well so we can talk through all of this and look what this announcement tonight means. It changes what we thought the process was going to be when the news came out on Sunday, and we'll kind of analyze what that could mean and what that could do for this coaching search as we wait for more updates on that.
Jason, appreciate you as always. We'll chat soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is Jason Longshore there. Again, if you missed it, just coming down literally right before the interview started, Garth Lagerwey, once again, unfortunately, does need to step away from the team to focus on his health. All right, when we get back, let's shift back to the Falcons. If you didn't get a chance to call in, I got another segment to take your calls, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Do we have a Michael Penix Jr. development issue on our hands? And is it the fault of the coaching staff? Because this team needs to make the playoffs, and the timelines are not matching up. What do you think? Plus, we'll get in a producer six-pack as well before we get out of Dodge. Still a ton to do on a busy, busy Tuesday night here in the A in the great state of Georgia. It's Chris Thomas tonight.